2 weeks ago tomorrow, there was a news item which had considerable implications for our country. One of the Supreme Court justices, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, died. A week and a day later, there was another news item with implications just as great, if not greater. The president appointed someone to take her place, Judge Amy Coney Barrett. And everyone across the political spectrum recognized that whoever it is that fills that seat, the effects will be far-reaching. Not nearly as far-reaching as and impacting, however, as the effects that were put into play and into motion when there was a different appointment made to a different court many years ago. When the Apostle Paul was speaking to the crowd that gathered in the city of Athens, we're told in Acts chapter 17 that he made this bold declaration. He, that is God, has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. The need for courts and just judges is broadly recognized. People around the world realize that there has to be some entity in position of power which has the final say in matters pertaining to the law. Otherwise, there would be disagreements and problems that would never be resolved. Consequently, those who gave shape to our democracy developed what we call the Supreme Court, which is designed to make the final judgments, or opinions as they call them, in all sorts of cases. And there are some similarities that can be seen between the Supreme Court in Washington and the Supreme Court that was established by God in heaven. First of all, the judges in each of those courts is appointed. A judge of the Supreme Court has to be appointed by the President of the United States. Similarly, the Chief Justice in the court that has been established in heaven was also appointed. We're told that God has fixed a day on which he will judge the world by a man whom he has appointed. Paul states that God is the one who will do the judging, but that he's going to do it in connection with a man, the man who is also God. Just as God created the world through his Son, he is also going to judge the world through his Son. In the Gospel of John, Jesus says, "The Father has given all judgment to the Son." Another similarity that can be seen between the justices in Washington and the Chief Justice in heaven is the fact that such appointments are for life. Life-term appointments, or lifetime appointments, they are called. Justices on the U.S. Supreme Court can hold that position for as long as they live. The law allows for that. Similarly, he who singularly sits in the court of heaven is also going to occupy that position for as long as he lives. And there may be some other similarities that can be found between these two courts that exist. But at about this point, a person does well to start noticing the great differences that occur between the two systems that are in place. Jesus, after all, as Chief Justice in the Supreme Court of heaven, is vastly superior to any human judge filling any earthly court. Consider that fact, for example, that both positions are life-term. That phrase means something entirely different when speaking about these two separate courts. Life-term for Justice Ginsburg meant that she would serve in that court only until the year 2020. For Jesus, however, that means he will serve in his position forever. God has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed, and of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. Every single earthly judge ends up in the grave. Jesus is the only judge who was raised from the grave, and he was so because he perfectly fulfilled the mission given to him to secure redemption for the entire world through the shedding of his atoning blood. Nothing can now remove Jesus from his position as sole judge in the supreme court of heaven. Death no longer has any power over him whatsoever. Then there is the matter of insight. Try as they might, even the most honorable of earthly judges are incapable of flawless reasoning or faultless verdicts. Not so with Christ. God has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. Nothing escapes Jesus' attention. Nothing gets by him. He sees everything. He knows everything. And therefore, the decrees that he makes are always just and fair. Your word is true from the beginning, lauds the psalmist, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. Yes, even the extent to which judgments can affect us personally is dramatically different when comparing these two established courts. At the most, judgments made at the U.S. Supreme Court in Washington can affect us only as long as we live here on earth, 80 at the most, 90, possibly 100 years. But the decrees of Jesus affect the eternity which is before us, and they are immovable. None of Jesus' verdicts, none of his rulings can ever be overturned, and that's a wonderfully scary? No, it's a wonderfully reassuring thing. If the decisions made in heaven's court could be altered, as is the case with the court in Washington, our lives would be filled with question marks and our future would be frightfully uncertain. But the decrees of Christ cannot be touched, altered, adjusted, changed. Nor are they something that will have to wait to be revealed. Nobody knows what kind of rulings will be handed down in the U.S. Supreme Court. But as children of God through faith, we not only know the decrees of God, what they will be, but how they will benefit us. We know exactly what will be said on that last day when Jesus appears. There will be no surprises. He's already told us. He's going to say to the unbelievers, sadly, "Depart from me, you cursed." But he's also told us what he's going to say to all who have faith. "Come, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." It's out. We know what he's going to say, and it's going to be wonderful. It is a blessing that we do have the court system that exists in America, culminating in the Supreme Court to any one of us, to which any one of us can turn if the need arises. And it occurred to me, after I heard a conversation that was on the news last week, part of it was an interview that was conducted by a news anchor with some of the friends of this newly appointed Judge Barrett. And they were talking about their youth and what she would do in her youth and what kind of person she was and so forth. And I thought, wouldn't that be amazing to be a childhood friend of someone who would end up on the Supreme Court, or to be a close relative of someone who would become a justice in Washington? But by faith, we are close friends and relatives of the one who sits on the bench in the Supreme Court of heaven itself. Our friend, our brother, rules the entire universe. He will right any injustices that we might have experienced. His judgments are flawless in every respect. Nothing can change what he has decreed. And what he has decreed is that everyone who has faith in Christ will receive eternal life, will not be put to shame, but will live with him forever. Love that knows no ending, grace to the extreme, these we have in Jesus Christ, the judge who is supreme. And we sing of his coming in the Advent hymn 68, stanzas 2, 4, and 6, the even verses of hymn 68.